Summer relief arrives officially in the next few days, and while the weather is a blessing, designing a summer that is both fun and functional is just a dream for families in the working class. While platinum-carded subscribers to glossy travel magazines can book themselves into one of the top 10 island getaways or jungle canopy spas or hotels carved into glaciers, for most families, when school is out, there is the terror of summer logistics. In 2014, families across the U.S. planned to spend an average of $958 per child on summer camps and lessons, according to the New York Times. In Dallas, Texas, a local nonprofit estimated that there are about 140,000 children who will spend the summer unsupervised. Even if those families wanted to send their children to camp, there's only 11,000 affordable camp spaces available in the area. Jessica Suarez, a working mom, was not optimistic about the summer of 16.
We are considered low-income families, and it's very, very difficult to be able to find a program that's cost-effective in this community.
But Jessica was thrilled when her 7-year-old got a scholarship to a reading summer program. She shared her joy with Dallas KERA reporter Courtney Collins.
Having a program like Readers to Leaders to come to that's going to make him think outside of his box, help him develop and become more creative and give him a better quality of life is very, very important.
Here in New York City, Dreema Brown is the vice president of school-age programs for the Children's Aid Society, and she says her programs fill up fast each spring.
Every summer, all of our programs have waiting lists, and we serve about 2,500 children across more than a dozen programs, and all of those programs have waiting lists. And what we find in our parent orientations is parents get really excited about the kinds of things that we do during the summer that give their children a chance to engage with their peers through exploring the, you know, wonderful resources of their local communities, as well as engaging in service projects, fun trips. We do things during the summer like robotics. We try to give children an opportunity to pick books that they really love to read and to talk about them with each other and caring adults in a really relaxed setting. You know, you'll see when you come to our camps, children sitting under trees reading in the park during the summer.
And your programs are free?
Our programs are free to low cost. So the vast majority of our programs are free because, you know, we work in lower income communities.
Are they means tested? In other words, you have to fill out a lot of paperwork to be eligible for your programs?
No. You just have to make sure we have everything we need to take good care of your child during the summer. Make sure we know if they have any allergies or other things we should know. And, you know, for us, that's a really important piece because we want to make sure that these programs are accessible and we remove any barriers that families may have for them. And we want to make sure that every child we can possibly serve has access.
In the city, the potential for adventures is great. You've got museums, you've got the parks, you've got athletic fields and various kinds of unorganized sports activities that are fun to do. Why have we evolved away in the last generation from just kids having fun on their own? I mean, I remember when, you know, mom would say, get out of the house, we're turning off the TV, go find something to do. It's not necessarily a comfortable option these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think especially in education, and I was a former teacher and a principal, I think we have focused a lot on preparing children for college and career, which is important. So the summer is a really exciting time for us because we get to work with teachers and principals, and we get to say, you know, if you could have your kids do anything in the world during the summers, what would you have them do? And they give us lots of great ideas, and some of them work with us during the summers to make sure our programs are enriching. But, you know, we really do see the summer as an opportunity to really connect children to each other and to do that through our group leaders who are usually college and high school students from their own community who serve as powerful mentors.
Is there advice that you would have, say, a family can only afford 1 or 2 weeks, but the summer is much longer than that, ways of taking advantage of peers or maybe siblings or extended family, friends, uncles who live, you know, down the street? It often seemed as though the stoop culture in the summer city was a way of learning things from, you know, Uncle Joe, and that those kinds of things, if kids are directed enough, can pick up where a camp left off maybe a week before.
Websites like the National Summer Learning Association has great resources and other links to other resources. The key is to make sure that children are actually reading books they want to read during the summer, that they've chosen and that they can read without help and support from anyone else. That we then talk to them about those books. We ask them questions, find out, you know, what it reminds them of in their own lives, and that we make sure they have an opportunity to see or do something new, even if it's on the weekends when we're not working, or we have a trusted and caring adult do something like that with them during the day, taking advantage of, you know, all the free parks and museums in the cities.
But generally speaking, for working class and poor and lower class parents, unless you think clearly about programs and strategies, the summer is a tough, tough time.
It absolutely is. You know, if you think about the difference in the highly structured time children spend in school during the school day, 6.5 hours a day, you know, for 10 months, the summer can really be a very different experience for children who aren't engaged in any way. And that, we think, is not necessary. And, you know, families who have the resources really do spend the summer going on vacations and trips with their children, putting their kids in dance camp or band camp. And so those experiences do prevent summer learning loss, as I've described, because these young people are engaged. They're talking, they're thinking, they're exposed to new things. So we have to, as communities and as individual families, really think about how we are structuring and supporting that summertime in a way where children can explore and at the same time really feel excited about learning new things about themselves and, you know, their community.
Design the summer. It's not just for the rich.
It's not just for the rich.
In New York City, Dreema Brown is the vice president of School Age Programs for the Children AIDS Society, which offers free summer camps at about a dozen locations across the city. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Brandon from Dallas. I actually have two children, 7 and 14. My 7-year-old goes to daycare, which is the same price year-round. My daughter goes actually nowhere. She stays home and just sits on the couch. The camps that we looked at were about $300 a week, which is a little bit pricey for us. So that's how we do summer.
How do you do summer? From Brunswick, Georgia. Don't get me started. This is a major hurdle, not just in the summer, but all on holidays as well. The answer is a combo of family, camps, daycare, and time off.
This is Robert in Oklahoma City. We're very lucky. My wife is a teacher, and we have lots of family. But I know that these so-called day camps for these kids cost upward to $300 a week. Easy.
Austin, Texas. I save all year to afford enough camps, family visits, and other piece-together activities to keep my son busy so I can work full-time as a single mom. It costs no less than $165 a week for some camps, and that's very limited availability. And he can only go for 2 weeks. Then it's more expensive. Camps for $250 to $400 a week. It costs me about $1,800 to $2,400 per summer. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number. Comment at thetakeaway.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.